Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Let me read you something out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Probably haven't seen this in a long time. But it says, now Jabez, almost can say it without looking at it. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you'd grant me, that you'd bless me indeed, that you'd enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you'd keep me from evil and not let me cause pain. It says, so God granted him what he requested. Holy Spirit, I need you today, so I ask you to clear my mind and let me just say the things that are important to you and important to Father. And I ask that everybody that came today, that you'd make sure that they have the opportunity to receive something from you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. This prayer, we'll kind of talk about this again today, and maybe I've got some other stuff I want to go on to, but I'll be referring to this probably for months and months. I hope this isn't just a little fad that we go through, but hearing some great things. One gentleman got a $20,000 blessing last month. One gentleman just told me, said, I worked yesterday, I made $600. Pretty good blessing. So give me about 10 or 20 of those, huh? Anybody with you? One gentleman went last week to get a kidney stone removed. He already had two x-rays showing the kidney stone, and he went in for to have them renew it, and they took another, or remove it, and they took another x-ray, and it wasn't there anymore. Imagine that. Had a lady fall, and the first thing she did was call me, and we prayed that nothing would be broken, and nothing's broken. So God's good. This little prayer here that Jabez prayed, you know, I've been looking at this and studying it and reading it and saying it every day and praying it every day. And because this little prayer, as the writer's going along and he's naming people in this line of Judah, naming all these people, you know, all those begots, they begot them and they begot them. And I kind of always go through those kind of fast, don't you? But in the middle of this thing, he stops and says, oh, but there was a guy named Jabez. And so I'm looking to see, hey, what got your attention, Father? What got your attention that you'd talk about this man so much? Because I want that in my life. And you know, I think probably, you know, the Bible, help me, Holy Spirit, I don't want to go the wrong way here. I want to pray just like that. I want to get God's attention. You know, when it says here that Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren, that what was it that caused that? What made him stand out to God like that? I've come to a conclusion. I believe there's two main things. One is he knew how to talk to God, and he wasn't afraid to talk to God. And the other thing is he knew how to get God's heart. You want to know why we prolonged or went extra long on that song just a minute ago? Because in 2 Chronicles 16, the Bible tells us that the eye of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. I love the NIV or the The New Living Translation says, whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That's what I want. And so the Bible tells me that when that's my goal and when my attention is to be totally committed to my Father, then I get His attention. You know, it says here, He was more honorable than all His brothers. That word honorable, this blew me away. That word honorable means to be weighted down with blessing. You didn't hear that. That word honorable means to be weighted down with blessings. That's what I want. Now, some of you don't want it, I can tell. So, Father, give me theirs. Weighted down. So what this writer is actually saying here, Jabez was more weighted down with blessings than all the men of his generation. You see, sometimes we take these things of God and we look at them and we think this is something that we work in 30 days and something that we do this so we can get this. But see, this thing is a walk with God, and Jabez knew that and he realized that. And this is a walk with God. And as we walk with Him and as we stay fully and totally committed to Him, blessings start weighting us down. They start coming to us. They start happening. And you know what? Many of you, so many blessings have come to you in the last few weeks, and some of you haven't even been paying attention to them. Well, see, I believe several things here about Jabez. I believe he wasn't afraid to talk to God, and he knew how to get God's heart. He said, Lord, bless me. Bless me big. You know why that got God's attention? That got God's attention because God has always promised to bless His people. And so when Jabez began to pray that, and when you begin to pray that, you're praying what God has been saying ever since He created Adam. You're agreeing with what He said. He said, bless me, Lord. Don't bless me little. Bless me indeed. Don't just give me a little. Bless me big. Huh? I mean, if you're going to get blessed, shouldn't you might as well get blessed big? Huh? Oh, just give me a little old cabin in the corner of glory. I don't want that, man. I want to walk and talk with my Lord and Savior. I want to go into those mansions He's made for me. I want to walk in that fullness He has for me. You can have your old little log cabin and stick it wherever you want to stick it. I got a big God. And I know Kelly's are building them a log house. But if you're going to have a log cabin, you might as well have it a house, man. Huh? Well, trying to get your attention. Bless me. Enlarge my territory. Stretch me, Lord. Stretch me on the inside. Stretch my mind. Stretch my spirit. Help me be able to know whenever You bless me. Help me be able to see it. And let me be able to handle those blessings. And oh, Father, I got to have Your hand. Keep Your hand on me. Let Your hand stay with me. Father, I've got to have Your Holy Spirit. I've got to have Your power and Your presence in my life because I can't make it without that. And then he goes on and says, keep me from evil. And don't let me cause pain. Keep me from evil. Or keep me from the evil one. And also keep me from doing evil. Protect me from the devil, Lord, and show me those areas in my life where I'm letting him into my life. Show me, Father. Keep me from this evil one. Can I just tell you? You're not going to be immune from the devil's devices and tactics. No one is. You're not going to be immune to evil. But boy, you can walk through that valley of death and not fear it because he's with you. If I've learned anything, some days I wonder if I've learned anything. Anybody else have that problem? Seems like the more I learn, the stupider I get, seems like sometimes. But that's okay, because I don't have to know everything. I know the one that does know everything, and he's my mediator, he's my comforter, he's my guide. We'll talk some more about that next week, but I've learned this one thing, that if God's trying to bless me, the devil's trying to steal it. If God's trying to do something in my life, the devil's trying to stop it. And you notice he says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says steal first, because the first thing he does is come and steal the word from you. And if he can steal the word from you, he can kill your dreams and destroy your lives. But when God says something, that's law. And he said he wants us blessed. He said he wants to do big things in our life. He said he wants us to be the head and not the tail. He said he loves us. He said he has good things for us. But if he's trying to do something in our life, I guarantee you the devil's trying to stop it. You're going to have to contend with the evil one. Huh? But Jesus gave us a little clue. He said, if you'll build your house on the rock. What's the rock? Hear what I say and do it. If you'll build your house on the rock, when the storms come, they won't knock your house down. Are you hearing me? Jesus also said in John 15, he said, if you will abide in me and let my words abide in you, you can ask anything you want and it'll be done. What's the key here? The rock is the word. The rock is what Jesus says. What's the key here? The word abiding in you is the key. And the devil's here to try to steal. He's here to try to stop what God wants to do in your life. But you know, the Bible teaches us to not be ignorant. Not be ignorant of his devices. Not be ignorant of all his tactics. And James even, and we're going to go to James 1:5 here in just a second, but James even said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. We're going to go to James 1:5, but I just was reading about James and thought I might just throw in a little bit of background as we start, but probably most of you know most of this, but James was the half-brother of Jesus. Matter of fact, he really didn't follow Jesus when Jesus was here in the flesh. But later on, he got turned on to the truth. He realized. But he was the half-brother of Jesus, and he was the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. Now, he's pastoring at a time. Now, the church of Jerusalem had been a church that when he got stoned to death, the church, he was part of that church. The church split. They went everywhere because of the persecution. They were scattered. And so it's my understanding that at some time when things are coming back together, that James writes his letter here to his folks. He's the pastor. He writes his letter to his sheep. He writes them here, and you know, actually James was one of the earliest writings that's written. It didn't get to be included into the Holy Scriptures until, I don't know, Frank, you can correct me later if I'm wrong, but it seems like I read around 1000 AD or 1100, somewhere in there. It was years later, because they thought that James's writing was contrary to what Paul said. Because Paul said it's not by works, it's all by grace. It's all by the grace of God. And so when James began to talk, he wasn't saying anything different, but when he began to describe faith, he said, faith, if you don't have any action with it, it's dead. And so the conflict was there, and it wasn't included, but it finally was. But this is what I wanted to think about here. Imagine with me how these Christians must have felt. They heard. Now we're talking about the Christians in Jerusalem there in this church, and pastors talking to them, just like I'm talking to you now. And how these Christians must have felt. They heard about the gospel. They heard the gospel, had it preached to them, you know, the nearly too good to be true news. They heard about that gospel. They heard it. They believed it. But then all they suffered was violence and persecution. Because they believed it, everywhere they went, they were persecuted. So they heard the good news, stay with me, but the bulk of their experiences hadn't been very good. Now listen to me. Here they come. You understanding how they feel? They're coming to a pastor, and they're saying, man, if this life with God is so good, why? Why is all this stuff happening to me? And James starts his letter here in verse 2. He says, count it all joy when you fall into these different fiery tests and trials. Have you got the picture? Do you understand it a little bit better now? Because I know you've never went, well, God, if all this stuff about Jabez is true, how come all this is happening to me? Why? Can you put yourself in their place for just a minute? And James says, count it all joy. And if you read it here and study what he said, he's saying, be exceedingly joyful because of what these trials are going to produce in your life. He didn't say be happy about the situation. He didn't say put up with it. He didn't say God was doing it. In fact, he goes a little bit further down and said, don't you even have the slightest idea that God has anything to do with this trial. There's no shadow of turning. There's not the least little bit of truth to that. You ought to read this when you go home. It'll make more sense to you now. He didn't say be happy about it. He said you can be joyful. He said have faith and know that God's using what the devil's trying to do here to change you inside. He's using what's happening to you to do something inside of you to make you less susceptible to the strategies of the devil. See, because if you can figure out how he's getting you, he won't get you next time. Oh, some of you are going to just sleep right through this. But somebody's going to hear me. That must have been what they went to Peter and told him in 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it. But he said, don't think that when you're going through these fiery trials, these hard times, and the enemy's after you, he said, don't think that it's some strange thing. He said, don't think that it's something out of the ordinary when this stuff's happening to you. He said, no, rejoice. And no. That what he's doing to you, he did it to Jesus too. And when that glory of Jesus is revealed to you, you'll whoop him just like Jesus did. We're just kicking religion in the backside today, okay? I want you set free. I want you to be wise to the devil's devices. And so here, if they come to the pastor and they say, why is this happening to me? And I want us to look at verse 5. It says this, and we all know it by heart. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Or the King James says, abradeth not. And it will be given to him. You lack wisdom? Ask God. Now get this picture. They're talking to pastor, right? They come to pastor and they go, Pastor, why is this happening to me? What's going on? And pastor goes, Man, I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask God. You'll never forget that scripture again. Don't ask me, ask God. See, because that is the last thing that we want to do, is go talk to God. I mean, we'd rather read a book about it. Huh? We'd rather pastor preach a sermon about it. Huh? We'd rather get some ideas on about it so we can think about it. Because we know that when we go get with God, eyeball to eyeball, He's going to show us things. So, Pastor, why don't you tell me somebody's book to read? Oh, I heard this great message on that. But he said, if you lack wisdom, go to God. Go to God. Once, if you get this, you won't have any trouble going to Him ever again. Now, what he's talking about here, he's asking wisdom. Wisdom for what? We generalize the scripture and say, oh, if you need any wisdom, ask God. He's talking about, what wisdom's he talking about? These people are facing challenges. They're facing trials. And they need some answers. He says, go to God. God will give you some wisdom about your situation. I don't know who you are today, but you need some wisdom about your situation. He says, if any man lacks, now that word lack just means a shortfall, a shortage, a scarcity, a deficit. So if you have a deficit in wisdom, where do you go? Go ask God. Go ask God. And he goes on here and he says, let him ask. If you got a deficit in wisdom, ask. Now that word ask means to be adamant in your requesting. It means to be demanding assistance to meet your needs. And actually, when you study the word out, it's to meet your physical needs and your material needs, like food and transportation and housing and the stuff we need. But he says here, it means to be adamant about, to insist or demand that a certain need be met. That's the same word that he uses in John 15:7 when he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask, you'll be adamant about it, you'll demand anything and it'll be done for you. Why? Because you're cocky? Because you're hard-headed, because you're being forceful, because you're doing it a certain way? No, because you're putting a demand on that word that's in you. Help us, Holy Spirit. I don't want to miss anybody. Insisting or demanding that the need be met. And in this case, it's wisdom. Huh? I mean, it's God, it's to know how to deal with this thing. God, what's going on? Show me what to do about it. Show me how to deal with it. Show me what to do, Father, so that I can end up having victory over the evil one. It See, now I'm demanding, but I'm not bossing God around. I'm asking with a strong request. You with me? I'm not demanding God do anything. I don't have to. He already promised me in Isaiah 55 that His word would do what He sent it to do. And so if I put a demand on that word and really believe it, something happens. You with me? So I go to my Father respectfully and humbly, only with a strong request. Father, I don't know what's going on, but I know You do. I don't know how to act and how to handle this situation, but I know You do. And I'm believing for my answer, and I'm not turning loose. I'm going to wrestle this angel to daylight if I have to. And this word also expresses the idea that as I ask, I have full expectation that I'm going to receive what I'm asking for. I know the answer's coming, God, because You're God. Well, James tells us to ask God for the wisdom we need. Now, when he says this phrase, the Greek tense of this phrase is a command. In other words, it means that God isn't suggesting that we come to Him and ask Him for wisdom. He's commanding us to come to Him and ask for wisdom. Let it soak in. He wants us to be firm and resolute in our asking, in our request. When we come to Him for wisdom, He wants us to be firm in that request. I need Your answer, God. You with me? I need Your wisdom in this. Now, don't generalize wisdom too much. We just say it because somebody said it and it sounded good to us. Just remember this when you're asking for wisdom. Solomon asked for one thing. One thing. God said, here's the magic lamp, rub it and a genie will come out. Anything you ask, make a wish. Solomon asked for one thing, and that one thing he asked for was, Father, give me the wisdom to do what You have called me to do. What did He call him to do, Chris? He called him to lead His people. He said, give me the wisdom to do what You've called me to do. What was the results of that wisdom? He became the richest man in the world. The richest man the world has ever seen. Okay, anyway. It says, let him ask, but let him ask of God. Now, of God, there's two words there. It's para, theos. Now, para, we learned last week when we talked about the Holy Spirit, that para means to come alongside of. Listen to this. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that from last week? The word was parakletos. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm sending you another Allos Comforter. I'm sending you one just exactly like me. And he's going to come and he's going to be right beside you. He's going to be with you. He's going to be close to you. He's going to be right there with you. And he's going to lead you and guide. He's going to coach you. Remember that? So this is the same word, para. Means to be, to come right along beside of. And theos means, is just the Greek word for God. So when you put these words together, what he's saying here is he's picturing a person who comes right up alongside of God. Somebody that gets as close to God as they can get. Oh. Somebody who stands side by side with him. Now, here's where we discover God's requirement for us receiving wisdom from him. You with me? Come back next week and I'll tell you. His requirement before he gives us wisdom is to draw close to him. If we want wisdom, if I want wisdom, I must come right upside him. I must get as close to him as I can get. James goes on and confirms this in the fourth chapter. He says, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. You with me? So we talked about the Holy Spirit. And what was the Holy Spirit's job? What's he coaching us to do? What's his purpose? His purpose, what was Jesus' purpose? Jesus' purpose was to show us the Father. Jesus' purpose was to pull us close to the Father. Jesus' purpose was is to make it where nothing could ever separate us from the Father again. And the Holy Spirit's job was to come right up alongside of us. He's in us, yes, but along with us, and to coach us and to draw us close to our Heavenly Father that loves us so much. God's saying here, if you want wisdom, come right up alongside of me. Just get as close to me as you can get. You see, he wants a relationship with you and me. Now listen, folks, I'm telling you, you don't have to have a Bible college education to get this. See, he wants a relationship with us, not just a casual visit. Oh God, I got this problem. Help me get out of this mess. And because I gotta get back to my business. I gotta get back to my life. No, he wants a relationship. The moment we get side by side with him, the moment when we get close to him, when we get in his presence, he opens up his hand and he reveals everything we need to know and understand about the situation that we're facing. See, it's easier to run to pastor, it's easier to run to a friend, it's easier to run to your husband or wife and say, what should I do? But you can go straight to Father and talk to him. See, we want God to meet our needs on demand, but we don't want to meet his need. You say, God has a need? Yeah, God's need is to be close to his people. So every day I make that personal. Father, I want to be close to you. I get so close, sometimes I slip and call him Daddy, and he doesn't care. He likes it. I can't see him, but I can feel him smiling. Because it's an intimacy with him. See, we want to rush into his presence long enough to get what we need, but God wants to spend some time with me. He wants to enjoy me. Huh? He wants me to stay there with him long enough to get my needs met. He wants to enjoy me, but he wants to speak to my heart. He wants to reach down to the deepest parts of my heart. And when he does that, usually he will get right to the root of my problem. That isn't a bad thing. You're trying to hide that down inside of you. Silly, he already knows it's there. He just wants to show us how to deal with it. You with me? See, if I listen to him, he'll get me right down to the root of what's causing this situation. How come I keep going around this same mountain all the time? How come I thought I had the victory over this 6 months ago and here it is again? Are you with me? See, that's what Jabez was praying. He was praying more than just keep the devil off of me. He was praying, Lord, show me inside. Show me how to not cause pain. Show me how to not sin. Show me how to not do wrong. Father, I want all the dark areas out of my heart. Thank you. Well, how did I get into this situation? James gives us a little bit of insight on down in the 14th verse. He says, but each one of us is tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust, our own desires, and enticed. That word enticed means to be caught with bait or caught by bait. I talked to Brent back here earlier this morning. He's been enticing some of those trout down on the river this week. He's been enticing them with some bait. And if you don't think the devil doesn't know exactly what it takes to get you, I mean, he's done it so many times, he just has to keep doing the same thing. You don't think he knows the exact right button to do to keep you in your situation, to keep you in poverty, to keep your marriage messed up, to keep you at odds with your kids? You think he doesn't know the button to push? He knows exactly the right bait to use with you. Ephesians, Paul tells us in the 4th chapter, he says, don't give place to the devil. We give place to him by the things we do. See, this isn't a matter of somebody standing up and telling you stuff to do and slapping you around and teaching you how to live. When you learn that when I go against that voice of God on the inside of me, it opens a door to the devil, you'll quit opening the door. Well, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. James says in the 4th chapter, verse 7, he says, resist the devil and he'll flee. But we always skip the first part of that. He says, commit to the Lord. Huh? Commit your ways to the Lord. And then resist him. He'll run. Because he can't stand against the Word of God. And when you're acting out the Word of God, he can't hang around you. Huh? Well, he can come torment you, but he can't stay there. I wonder if sometimes we avoid going into the presence of God because we're afraid of what we might see about ourselves. Now, you're probably not this way. I'm just kind of talking to myself for a while here, okay? See, I'm afraid that when he turns on that glorious light, that there's going to be some darkness in there. Can I give you a word of fact? There is some darkness in there. You can put perfume on it, and you can put a smile on it, and you can act real religious when you're at church around church folk, and you can say all the right things, and you can smile, and you can do all the things, and you can do everybody's form. You do it, but there's some darkness in there. There's some darkness in here. And what Jabez was going, God, I don't want it in there. I don't want it in there. See, when I want him more than I want those things in me, when I want him more than I want those desires, see, he knows how to push your button to get you to lust. And some of you are lusting and you couldn't do anything if it manifested. That was a good time for some of you old folks to laugh, you know. He knows exactly what to do to keep you in debt, to keep that friction in your home. But when I say, God, I want you more than I want anything, any of that stuff in my life. You know, when I got saved, I loved pot. Man, I loved pot. I'd rather smoke pot than breathe, almost. And so I told God, I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and smoke a joint one here and there, and I'll witness to people when I do it. But when God took me, he let me have an experience where I could see, I didn't want to quit. You struggling with addiction, you got to want to quit before you'll ever quit. And when I compared, he let me experience something. And when I compared his presence with the high I was getting from this, I said, whoa, no more, no more. I want you. I want the new wine. I want the real deal. I've never wanted to smoke one since. You hearing me? You hearing me? See, you keep rolling around, you keep going to counseling, you keep wrestling this thing around, and you keep going around this mountain, but the truth is, you don't want to change it. You don't want to quit. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, pray that I'll quit smoking. I said, do you really want to quit? Yes, I really want to quit. So I laid hands on them, and I said, Father, if they smoke another one, let it kill them. Oh, no, 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 don't pray that, Pastor. I said, well, you don't want to quit, do you? You just want to play games. See, it's those things that are keeping me distanced from my Father that I need to want to get rid of. Huh? And when he says, when I want him more than I want that thing, hey, something happened. When I really decide, something will happen. And I love what James says here. It says, he gives to me liberally and abradeth not. The word giveth here describes somebody who's in the habit of giving. Hey, that's my God. I said, hey, that's my God. He's a giver. He's in the habit of giving. What it tells me is that God's not the one holding back from me. He's not the one trying to keep me from receiving. He's the one that wants to give to me. He's the one that wants me to have the wisdom that I need. He's in the habit of giving wisdom when you really want wisdom. Let me ask you something. You're facing financial difficulty. How'd you like to have some wisdom to get out of that? But even more important than that, how to stay out of that problem. how to not get back in there again. See, you need some wisdom in your marriage? Hey, ask him. He's probably not going to show you what your mate needs to change. He's probably going to show you what you need to change. Now, don't get hard on yourself when he shows you things. Just say, yep, okay, I see that. But I don't know what to do with it. Will you help me? That's the beautiful thing about this. He not only will tell us what's wrong, he'll help us fix it. He'll give us the strength and the power and the ability to fix it. Boy, I tell you what, you guys are, there's so much anointing up here. Can you feel it? Man, there's so much anointing up here, anybody could preach. If you couldn't preach up here, you don't have any business preaching, man. Help us, Holy Spirit. You got problems with your children? Need some wisdom? Man, he's been fooling with teenagers for centuries and centuries and centuries. Your problem isn't no new revelation to him. You having problems with a relationship? You need some wisdom? You having some problems on the job? Having some problems with your business? I can start naming people with businesses that were ready to quit. And they began to ask God, God, show me what to do. And now those businesses are thriving. You want to sell your business and make lots of money? Then get it thriving. And then sell it. Don't sell it when you're about to go bankrupt. Nobody wants to buy it then. Well, wisdom. When we meet the requirements of God and come close to Him, James says He doesn't just give us some wisdom, He gives it to us liberally. I mean, the word that he uses here means it depicts something that's given generously, abundantly, plentifully, bountifully, open-handed. That's the way God gives. I don't want somebody giving me something and go, no, God gives it to us open-handedly. See, some of you missed a good chance to go like that and get some of it. Let me do it again. He does it open-handedly. Oh, okay, that's a little better. Isn't it amazing what we have to do to get everybody's attention? When we do what He wants and come close to Him, He will profusely answer us and impart wisdom to us, the wisdom we need for our situations. And I use that word on purpose. I love that word, profuse. It implies pouring forth without restraint. That's the way my God is. Ooh, man, I wish I had more time. That's the way my God is. When he told the old widow lady, when he had old Elisha tell the widow lady she's needing money, and he said, go get some pots. And I'll fill them with oil and you can sell the oil. And so she sent her son out and got pots from everybody. Do you know when she ran out of pots, he was still ready to give her more oil. He said, bring the next one. And she said, that's all the pots are full. The blessing had to stop. How big of a vessel you want to be? Well, anyway, that wasn't in my notes. And it says that we can do that. We can ask him. We can go to him there. And he'll pour that out to us. And he won't rebuke us or reprove us for asking him. Because he wants us to ask. He wants us to draw close to him. He wants us to come right alongside of him so that he can love us and fellowship with us, and so that we can feel that love and we can experience His presence. In that close-up, side-by-side encounter with God, you'll, you'll also become aware of all the areas in your life that need tweaking, that need dealing with. And this is the part I love. He'll not only show me the things in me that are wrong, He'll stay with me and He will help me. He'll give me the strength and the wisdom and the know-how to take care of those things. Whew, God, that's so good. So James is saying here, if I meet God's requirement to come close to Him, He, the giving God, will give me the wisdom and the answers I need. Don't run in and out of His presence, and just when you go there, once you spend some time with Him. Go there and let him just I dare you, just go there and say, Lord, shine the light in here. When He shines His light, darkness can't stay. Huh? This isn't something you got to work to get it accomplished. You just got to make a decision. And He'll do all the work. He'll show you what to do, and He'll help you what to do. And as you do what He shows you what to do, it won't be hard. The only hard thing is making up your mind to do it. Well, I don't want to deal with it because it feels so good, God. Don't run in and out. Spend some time with Him. Stay in His presence long enough to get that wisdom. Stay in there long enough to get that wisdom down in your spirit. He promises us safety in Psalms 91 if we will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, and you know what I found out? He's got a secret place just for you. Nobody else is in that secret place but just you. Spend some time with Him. So, let me read you Chronicles one more time as we close. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez was more weighted down with the blessings of God than any man in his generation. He goes on in verse 10, he says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that You'd bless me, Lord. Oh, that You'd bless me indeed. Oh, that You just let me walk in all that You have for me. He says, enlarge my territory. I'm thinking too little. I've got all these restrictions. I've got all this. Get me out of this claustrophobic place. Enlarge my territory. Stretch me. Oh, and keep Your hand with me. And as we'd say, Lord, I need Your precious Holy Spirit to be with me and in me. Holy Spirit, lead me to my Father. Lead me to Him. And that You'd keep me from evil. And Lord, not just keep me from evil, but show me the things inside of me that the enemy's using. Show me the things inside of me that he's baiting me with. That he dangles every time. And I end up back in the same situation. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Well, I didn't put a period on James chapter 5, or verse 5. But James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. And he says, He will give it to you, period. This junk, folks, this junk. Well, you know, there's just some things too mysterious that we won't know and we don't know. And there's just some things that we're just not supposed to. That isn't in the Scripture, and that's a lie from hell. Jesus said in John 16, the Holy Spirit came to tell us everything that Jesus knows. Give us everything that Jesus has. And He said, and the Father has given me everything He has. And so I'm telling you again, you can have, He came to give you everything that I have. Now, you might not ever know where the dinosaurs came from. That's not what I'm saying. But you don't have to back up to God and say, well, now maybe he doesn't want me to know this. Do you want to know it? Then he'll probably tell it to you. If you lack wisdom, ask him. He'll give it to you, period. Let me put a period on Jabez's prayer. It says, so God granted Jabez what he requested, period. I love that. I love that. Well, I hope the last few weeks have helped you a little bit. I hope that I've tried to share things that weren't in the book. I just tried to share some thoughts that the Holy Spirit gave me as I read the book and the prayer and as I talked to God and as I drew close to Him. And I hope that you won't just quit doing that now. Because see, the whole thing was you were drawing to God. You were going after God. And everything in that prayer is something that He's promised us. And we just have to believe it and receive it. But this is what I've learned. Now, I listened to this and read this book 20 years ago, and then I quit. This time I'm not going to quit. Because what I'm learning is the Holy Spirit's never running out of new ideas He can give me. And you know, for the rest of your life, the Holy Spirit is going to be, if you'll listen and want it, He's going to be telling you things that you don't know. He's going to be giving you new revelation. Father, I pray that you just open things up to these people. I believe they're the best people in the world, God. And just draw us closer to you. Holy Spirit, put that desire in us to want to be close to you. And the thing about Jabez was, he just laid it all on the line. He didn't hold nothing back. He just came to him humbly and said, here, God, I got to have it from you. Real quick here, I wonder, everybody stand, I wonder if there's anybody that you've been holding back and you just say, I just want to lay it all on the line to you, Lord. If that's you, just come down. You might not even want anybody to pray with you, but I'm facing this thing, and I just need to lay it on the line, Lord. I just need your help. I just need your answer. So I'm coming to you. If there's anybody that needs to do that, you just come. God, I can't figure it out no more. I'm not trying no more. Here, I'm casting this care over on you. In fact, somebody might just want to come down and just cast that care on the altar and turn around and go back. But you got to do something. You got to turn loose of that thing. You got to turn loose of that thing that's holding you back. To say, Lord, I don't know how to fix it, but I'm humbling myself before you. You know how to fix it. You know how to fix it. While they're coming, somebody in here, you just need to live for God. You know all about how to be saved, and you know all about stuff, and you've listened to everything, but you just need to make a decision that you're just going to live for God. That's just simple. If that's you, come on down here. Just come on down and just, I just want to live for you, Father. I just want to live for you. Somebody here, you've never asked Him in your life. You've never asked Him into your, you've never given Him your life. Right now is the easiest time you'll ever have to come to Him. Just come to Him and say, I give you my life, Jesus. I want to be saved. I give you my life. Do something with it. Do something with it. Lord, I pray that you won't let anybody here today, a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now, be going through something and they say to themselves, I wish I would have released that day. I wish on March the 5th I would have given that to you. I wouldn't be going through this right now. I'm saying turn loose of it. Turn loose of it. You say, well, why come down, Hank? Well, because there's just something about when you put movement to what you're thinking that it makes something work better. When you put movement to what you're thinking, you can say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. But when you come down front, when you put movement, you put action to that faith, something happens inside of you. So I'm praying that we won't just be hearers only, but we'll be doers. We'll be doers. And you have to first off teach yourself to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit says something, step out. Don't wait to figure it out. Don't wait to understand it. Don't wait till something happens up here. When something in here tells you to make a move, make the move. And as you make the move, He'll show you what to do. But you got to be sensitive. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got to be sensitive to that voice. If you hear me, if you hear my words and do them, what did He say in John 14? He said, I will manifest myself to you. Whew. Is that good? Did anybody here learn anything today? Praise God. Why don't you just give God some praise right now for it? Some praise right now for it. And after I dismiss you, if you still need to come down here for something, you come on down. If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you. If you need to be anointed and prayed for, we'll do that. But if God's been dealing with you about making a step, make that step even after we dismiss here. And learn. Start right this minute. Matter of fact, everybody in here say something with me, whether you mean it or not. Holy Spirit, everybody in here say something with me, whether you mean it or not. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to make me so sensitive to your voice that when I hear you, I'll move. You get that down, baby. And I promise you the blessings of God are going to weight you down. Everybody say, I'll take some of that. Huh? Everybody, come on, come on. Get that old pride out of there. I'll take some of that. Do a little jig. I'll take some of that. Hey, you be blessed. Thank you for being here today. You be blessed. I'm believing God to do big things in your life. You draw close to Him and He'll draw close to you. Hey, I love you. See you next time. Be here tonight if you can at 6. Greg's going to give us a good word.